This is Pastor Lynn. We are on our second semester of LTS. This is Casting Your Cares Upon the Lord. Casting Your Cares Upon the Lord. We're going to turn to Psalm 55, verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22 says to cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he'll sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fail, or fall. So here, what is the opposite then of casting your care on the Lord and releasing it? That would be us carrying it. If we're carrying it, we are not casting that onto the Lord. And what is a care? Is a care is a worry, a troublesome, something that's on your mind, a heavy weight. Are we to carry that? No. Casting means to throw your burden, your heaviness. We are not designed to carry care. Our chiropractor friend had said, he talks about stress being a great stimulator of disease, and the fact that there are people that have gotten cancer as a result of carrying the care and the stress. Our bodies were not designed to carry it because God never intended for us to carry care. The Bible says in Philippians 4, and I do want to turn there, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. It says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance, in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, whatever's true, whatever's worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely and lovable, whatever's kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is any, sorry, I'm turning the page, anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on that. Fix your minds on them. Don't do it. Do not fret and have anxiety. What do you do when cares come? And I think we have to look at ourselves. We may have grown up in a family, I know I did, that I used to joke and say they were world-class worriers because they had worrying down really well. And if, you know, we have to watch that we don't pick that up when we are grown and we're growing in God, that he'll bring things to you and say, what about this? You know, you don't need to have this anymore. You don't need to be a worrier anymore. You have a relationship with me. Some of us almost grew up, it was like, it was common. It was something that was normal. But it's not normal, not in God's kingdom. Digestive problems, respiratory problems, a lot of physical problems are caused by or made worse by worry. Faith, joy, and peace can bring you out. So don't get me wrong, opportunities to worry come to us. I mean, we can't control everything that happens around us. We can't control everything that happens to us, but we can control our response. Now, a lot of times the enemy will use shock, something that comes out of the blue, so to speak. You know, I didn't expect that, you know. Well, hey, what's in your heart? Because that's really what's going to come up out of your mouth, it's going to tell whether or not there's stress there. And you might have a thought come. You might have a care come. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take every thought captive, and we're supposed to get rid of, throw that, cast that care away. So it's up to us how we choose to respond. If you have an initial response of dread or shock, that's, you have to choose then from there on out. You may recognize that in you, and then, you know, have you ever grabbed yourself and said, wait a minute, I'm a child of God, I'm in covenant with Him. You know, at, in the beginning, that's what you have to do, because it's a foreign concept to the way we normally think in the carnal mind. In the carnal mind, we do relish almost worrying about things. It doesn't change anything. In fact, it can make it worse, but we do. And so we are changing over. We are renewing our minds to what God says about cares. So are we going to respond with hopelessness and terror? Or are we going to respond by casting that care and say, I'm coming out, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I don't want to hold on to this. My body was not meant to hold on to this. But Jesus said, He took my yoke upon Him. We take His yoke upon us. And it's an easy one. So it is a choice, and we are overcomers. So let's go back to Psalm 55. Psalm 55 verse 22. Pages are thin. Psalm 55, verse 22, and it says, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. It says He'll sustain you. To sustain means He'll keep you, nourish you, feed you, provide for you, and uphold you. If He's doing all of that, how can we hold on to a care? Because if we know we have a shepherd, we have a master that is keeping us and nourishing us, He has our back. Do you believe He is keeping you? That's the question we have to ask. So in Psalm 91, the very popular psalm right now, Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. So if they're dwelling in the secret place, they're living there. We're living there. We're abiding. We're staying there under the shadow. We aren't, you know, in there for 2 hours on Sunday morning and then running out and being out from under the shadow, not out of the secret place. The presence of God is always with us. It's always, He is always with us, but He is not always discerned. And some, you know, you hear people say, you know, when I'm praying, I feel like I'm praying and it's not getting past the ceiling. They are not discerning the presence of God in that case. But does that change the fact that He is always with us? No. I will say, in verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. I will say, faith always says something. We have a part in receiving the benefits. We're to cast our cares over onto Him. And how do we do that? So we take every thought captive, but then what comes out of our mouth has to be what God says. So we have a part in receiving the benefits, and I will say, faith always says something. Believers experience the salvation of God in every aspect that unbelievers do not experience. Obviously, not everyone in this world is being kept. There are people that say, and still believe, sorry, I forgot to turn my phone off. And always say, well, when I go to heaven, and they're not living for God, they don't even have a relationship with God, but there's a common belief that everybody is going to go to heaven, and that is not true. And just the same as, obviously, not everyone in this world is being kept. There are people being destroyed in finances, minds, and their bodies. Why? Is God a respecter of persons? Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises, according to some people's conception of slowness. But he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish. Yet it happens, doesn't it? His will is that none perish. But we have a say in this. We have a part in this. Shouldn't we find out why some are experiencing the salvation of God and some aren't? He told us to cast our care upon him, and he will sustain us. He will keep us. Does everybody cast their burden on the Lord? No. People that don't believe in God don't. Some people that do believe in God don't. They don't know enough to realize how. They either don't know they're supposed to take every thought captive and cast their care upon God, or they don't know how to do that. Even church-going people, a lot of them do not cast their care on him. It's either through wrong believing or they think they can take care of it. And that's a big portion of them don't want to bother God, don't think it's big enough. But here's the thing, you know, as things start as a little seed, you know, we have this little seed come to us and we think, oh, I can take care of that. I can take care of that. And it grows. The more you think on it, it's going to grow. That's why he tells us to cast our cares. It is better to be carefree. Practice throwing your cares off. We need to get to the place where when you get the slightest pressure on you, you go into casting mode. It's like you have a reflex that you need to do this. This is learned behavior. I know what's going to happen if I don't do this, and God is bigger than this, and he doesn't want me carrying this. I remember when my son had a motorcycle accident, and they said that he was being taken to Bedford Hospital. So I was actually at home, and my daughter-in-law called and said, we're meeting him at the hospital. They're taking him to Bedford, and said something about life flighting him. So I had a woman here at the times, and my husband was overseas on a missions trip. So I told her I needed to leave, and I got in the car, went up to Bedford. And as I'm standing there and I'm talking to my daughter-in-law, it just rose up within me. Oh, no, he didn't. Because they're telling me, oh my gosh, a truck hit him head on. he's being life flighted, you know, and I was just, oh no, he didn't. The devil did not even try this. And the thing is, it just rose up on the inside of me. And when I got to the hospital he was in, he was sitting up on the gurney, ready to go. Just don't hold on to it and worry on it for 3 days before you realize that you need to cast that onto the Lord. Just like when we learn with healing, don't wait till you have a full-fledged cold before you start praying. You know, oh, I can deal with this. I can deal with this. It's just a little sniffle. It's just a little scratchy throat. And then you don't do anything until it's big, and then it's very hard to jar. So when we have cares, we need to grab them and cast them over onto the Lord. Can you tell when you're not your joyous, peaceful self? Because everybody else around you can certainly tell when you're not your peaceful, joyous self. Your spouse can, I bet. We can tell when we're a little or a lot off. Throw it on to him, and he will take care of it. Here's something to be aware of. The devil is persistent. We are not always persistent, but he is very persistent, and he will try to bring it back up to you even after you thought that you had cast it away. So you've just got to say, nope, it's not coming back. I'm not taking it back. You're going to have to do that more than once. You know, once you get savvy to his ways and throw it off, that heaviness of fear and worry, and just say no to it. You may have to even say it out loud and say, I refuse to worry about that. I gave it to the Lord. Does this mean you will never think about the situation? When you worry about something, you can tell the difference, because when you're worrying, it's a heavy feeling and there's fear attached. There's a dread attached. There's a heavy, like I said, heavy feeling. But if you're not in fear and worrying because you have cast that on him, you can think about that situation and he'll give you the solution maybe in the middle of that. It's not that you can't think on the situation, but if you can't do it without fear and heaviness, then you have not cast that. So we need to say, just like we read in Psalm 91, the Lord is my refuge, he is my God. So let's go down to verse 16 of Psalm 91. Verse 16 says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Does this sound like something that we should want? Of course it does. To come to the end of your life, and if it was a long one and a good one and you're satisfied and you did everything that you were supposed to do, you finished your race before you leave here. That's what 16 is talking about. With a long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's a feeling, not that you did everything correctly, but you adjusted your course and you did finish your race before you leave here. This is something that we should want. Every kingdom project that you were supposed to be involved with, you completed, you fought the good fight. Let's look at how did we make it to the end of this long life. You know, in verse 16 it's saying, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, how did that person in verse 16 make it to the end of this long life and was satisfied? You had to go through some things to get there. The devil's not going to stop throwing things at us at all. So did Paul go through some situations where he had to cast his cares onto the Lord? Did you and I have trials and things to go through just to get to where we are in our own life today? Battles. But God sustained you. Without his help, you would not have made it. Look at Psalm 91 where it says in verse 3, for then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. The snare of the fowler didn't get them. Neither did that noisome pestilence. Some of us have had some close calls, but God kept us. And here I would ordinarily ask you for some testimonies, so you're just going to have to think of those yourself online and rehearse what God has done in your life. So go to Proverbs chapter 18 for our next scripture. Proverbs 18. 14. Proverbs 18:14 says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? The most important thing in every situation is not what's happening in the natural realm, but what's going on in the spiritual realm. In other words, not what is going on in your circumstances of your body or your finances or in your head, but what is going on in your heart. 2 Corinthians 4, turn over to that, says that we look to things that are not to the things that are seen. Let's go read that. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Since we consider and look not at to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporal, brief and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Temporal means subject to change. So the things that are seen are subject to change. If your situation went from good to bad, well, I can't change back. It's temporal. So if it can go from good to bad, with God's help, it can go from bad to good, back again. You don't change the natural or the outside things, the circumstances, by focusing on those outside things. Say you have a son or a daughter that's acting up, a teenager. As a parent, you're trying to steer them and put boundaries down for changed behavior. And that's not out of line for a parent. That's what we do. The bottom line is the change needs to happen on the inside, in their heart. We still put lines down for boundaries, but we pray for them as well that their heart will be changed in the midst of that. Miracles start on the inside, not on the outside. You can have learned behavior by setting up boundaries and you have to stay within the lines, but then when you take them away, if the heart is not changed, they're going to change their behavior. We can get fixated on the problem till you no longer see the big picture and you're totally wrapped up in the small screen. So let's look at the big picture, not just what is showing itself in your face, because the devil likes to get in our face with something, and usually he'll do it not just one thing, but two or three at the same time. The devil would have us fixated on the bad report or the feelings in our own body or the economy or the COVID. He would have us fixated. I mean, how many people do you know that that's what they are ingesting every day for most of the day is the latest news on this virus? If we yield to it, we get in a loop. We repeat over and over like a DVD and like it's not on play. You know, we hit replay in our minds over and over and over. What happens? It gets bigger and bigger in our minds. We should have said this. We should have did this. We should have change this, you know, and you're just frazzling your brain. Stop it. Speak. Even if you need to do so out loud, don't fixate and therefore not be able to see anything else. What happens when something's in focus is everything else gets out of focus around you and you're not able to see it as clearly. We need to practice this like anything in our life that we want to excel at. I took a couple years of piano as a little girl who hated to be practicing, wanted to be outside. And my sister did practice and she could play pretty well. She had a few more years than I did because she stuck with it longer. And she was able to play very well the piano. Once we hear the problem, whatever problem that comes up in our life, whatever care comes to us, from our accountant or our doctor or our spouse, that's enough. Quit talking about it and rehearsing it to each new person that you talk to. Oh yeah, this is what happened to me this week. Yeah, and then you just go on. And what is it doing? It's building itself up in your mind as big and important and on the throne. And that is not faith. Watch out for the loop, that replay button, and let's make a change to the way that God wants us to deal with things so we have good changes in our life. Focus on our hope, not the pain. That's easy to say here and agree with your head, but the flesh loves to revel in the gloom, despair, and agony on me, like Hee Haw used to say. excessive misery. What's what happens when you don't cast your cares? You get over into that excessive misery. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3:16. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. This affects your body. You know, he's saying about grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced in the inner man, but the inner man is going to also affect your outer man. Remember, without your spirit, your body is what? Your body is dead. The condition of your spirit affects your body. If a person can have a strong spirit, then it can get depleted as well. So we don't want it to get to that. Psalm 112, that's why LTS is good to establish habits in you, to get into the Word of God, to spend time in the presence of God, to have that relationship with Him and get established. Psalm 112 verses 1 through 8 says, praise the Lord, hallelujah, blessed and happy and fortunate to be envied is the man who fears and worships the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His spiritual offspring shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Prosperity and welfare are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright, gracious, compassionate, and just, who are in right standing with God. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. He will not be moved forever. The uncompromisingly righteous, the upright in right standing with God, shall be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is firmly fixed, trusting and leaning on and be confident in the Lord. His heart is established and steady. He will not be afraid while he waits to see his desire established upon his adversaries. This describes a soul that God supported, like it talks of in Psalm 54, we read. When people are moved by fear and unbelief, your soul is what's moved, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Can I be supported enough not to be moved by any report? We want to be unmoved, and God wants us to be unmoved because that's how He operates. Can we be? We need more than just ourselves. Renewal of your mind is a big help. When we get a handle on the largeness and the most powerfulness of God, then that is a big help to us being able to look at Him as our everything. How can you tell if you really have faith? It's easy when the reports coming in are all good. It's easy to sing about victory when there's nothing really challenging that. It's when you get a report contrary to either what you are believing God for or something totally out of the blue, that is when you'll be tempted to be moved off of what God has said about you. It may feel like you were punched in the gut. Joy and peace gone out the window, and you may feel panicked. You're moved. It is possible to be unmoved. In Psalm 23, and it's not very far from where we just were, let's turn over there real quick. It talks about, yea, in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. They comfort me. I will fear no evil. Why am I fearing no evil? Because I'm throwing my care off and know that He sustains and keeps me. He's a good shepherd. Make up your mind ahead of time. Bad reports come in this life. Haven't you had some? The key is do not fear. Jesus said it quite a bit in his ministry. We may be tempted to fear, and the more you think on and talk on what's happening, the more tempted to fear we become. We have to choose not to fear. In Psalm 51, verse 12, it says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." What is a willing spirit? Be open. For God to be able to help us, we need to be open. He's going to tell us something to do, and we'll need to do it by faith. If you do it, strength comes, sustaining will come. Trust Him. And here's an important principle regarding, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, all the way back to the beginning of the book. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. I am in the table of contents. Okay, here we are. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and guard and keep it." Adam and Eve were in the garden. God put them there to tend it and gave him instructions. When Adam failed to keep what God gave them to keep, he disobeyed. God could not sustain them like he had been. He couldn't provide and protect like he wanted to. Can God keep a defiant, disobedient person in the same way that he can an obedient, willing person? Think about that. They have shut the door to him, and but for his mercy, God is not going to kick the door in. We open the door, actually, to Satan. The enemy can be able to come in and destroy and take over. But God's not going to kick that door down to come in and take over to keep us and sustain us. It's man's doing and the devil's doing that God has not been able to keep us all. Remember, we talked in the beginning about God keeping, is it fair that he's keeping his people? It is not just up to him. We have a part. And no matter how much he loves us, because we saw that he's not willing for any to perish, no matter how much he loves us, he will not do something to pervert justice. And we do have a free will. If I don't do what the Lord tells me to do, then my confidence and faith is not where it should be. Do you remember when you were a kid and you did something wrong, you disobeyed, and your confidence and boldness and faith was not where it should have been because you were constantly afraid you were going to be found out, or you had undermined the relationship with your parents because you had disobeyed. And so that confidence wasn't there. Well, God wants us to be walking in that confidence and in the faith. So he wants us to stay on the right trail here. So this is us needing to walk in the light of what we know so that we will have confidence and be kept in every situation. This is not a matter of keeping rules so much since Jesus came, but of the confidence, because we know we can come boldly before the throne, and that if we do sin, we can go and ask him and have a clean slate again. The further that people get off and disobey, they almost expect something to happen. The confidence for him to keep us is not there. You stepped out over the line and they're just almost waiting for that truck to hit them. I messed up. I don't deserve to be healed. I don't deserve to be delivered. We've all heard somebody utter those words. It says, "All have sinned. Receive your forgiveness, but also walk in the light of what you know and don't keep doing it." This is not a license. This is the fact that if you do sin, you have a way to be washed clean again. So your heart doesn't condemn you, and then you will have confidence to be kept. Do you want the Lord to be hindered in keeping us? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26 and verses 3 and 4. It says, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord, commit yourselves to him, lean on him, hope confidently in him forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. God is able to keep us. The Holy Spirit also lives in us and quickens us, our body, and we look to Romans chapter 8 and see that. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ, Jesus from the dead, will also restore to life your mortal, your short-lived, your perishable bodies, that's pretty clear, through his Spirit who dwells in you. So he lives in us and quickens us, our body, but he also sustains our inner man. Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 and 30 says, he gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and select young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect and look for and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. So he gives power to the faint. He increases our strength. They that wait on the Lord, in other words, they cast off and they're looking to him. They're casting off that care and they're looking to him. They're waiting on him. Mount up as eagles. The Lord is keeping them. He's sustaining them. Is this relevant to our topic? Yes. When he gives power to the faint and increases our strength, we know we can cast our care on him confidently by faith and know he's keeping us. He has our back. If we do start looking at the circumstances and start feeling unrest, we can recognize what is trying to happen and start back in casting again and power on. God is so good, you just turn and start doing what he calls you to do, and he responds. Psalm 54:4, we read earlier in the Youngs, it says, God is a helper to me, my savior, my helper, supporting my soul. Your soul can get weary, your mind, your will, your emotions. Not in a physical way, not in a physical weary, but it can affect your physical body. Have you ever had some very trying decisions that you had to make in a day, or you really had to put your mind to something, and so you weren't doing a lot of physical work, but you were doing a lot of mental challenges, and you were tired by the end of the day. You're tired, and it can affect your physical body. You can not just be tired on the outside, but on the inside too. Remember, our spirit works with the Holy Spirit, is not the Holy Spirit. And so in this casting of your cares, we want to leave that old man behind. We want to be what we were created to be and refuse to settle for less than what heaven has decreed. We want to focus on the eternal and give the flesh no power or authority. What does Romans talk about? Stripping away, strip away that carnality, old things, those old things, and wrap ourselves then in the likeness of God. So we want to be that person, and casting our cares is a big part of that, because the cares will come, and it's how you respond that makes the difference. Amen.